podcast is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This podcast is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, recommend as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you. Welcome, bienvenue, another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. All right, today's date, we're recording on the Sabbath, and it's June 14, 2026. Happy Obama Appreciation Day, as I'm being told by social media. And we are at episode 349. You know, that deserves it. That's a milestone. That's a milestone. After that, I'll be in 350. Anyways, yeah, 350. But focus, 349. And in today's episode, excuse me, I will be talking about how realizing I was on to something after I recorded the last episode. Like the final say, I was on to something. Talking about single life or being alone or not making connections. You know what? I was on to something. We'll leave it at that. And before I talk about that, we're going to start with some randomness. Excuse me, some quotables and some randomness. Yeah. All right. Okay. Boom. Ooh, some new quotables. Start off with quotables. First one is, you know what? Maybe I should start with, I'm not going to have a lot of like randomness for today, but this one really connects with what are my randomness topic. And it goes, racism is the disease of white people. Albert Einstein.
Message.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's interesting that, Albert Einstein was able to see through the bullshit. You know what? Okay. Next quote is, make sure I got this in line. All right. These next two are connected together and they're related to today's final say. And it goes, first one goes, don't mistake my love of solitude for loneliness. I prefer the hum of my own thoughts over the ding of meaningless conversation.
Message.
Wow. That last word is, this thing shaped my life. And it goes, to fall in love is easy. Even to remain in it is not difficult. Our human loneliness is cause enough. But it is a hard quest worth making to find a comrade through whose steady presence one becomes steadily the person one desires to be.
Message.
Deep. That was by Anna Strong. Anna Strong. Oh, wow. Okay, that was Anna Strong. And I forgot to say that the other one is by, work with me, Dipendra Tamang. Tamang, yeah. The one about solitude was, The one about solitude was by Dipendra Tamang. And the last one, about finding your soulmate, is Anna Louise Strong. All right, that's it for quotables. Let's share some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right, this first piece of randomness crossed my mind while viewing pornography, some porn, and it was, I guess I must have been high when I had this thought, because I was distracted by what I was looking at and reminiscing on probably a thought I had around the first time I discovered porn. It was a thought that I never really, what do you call that? It was like subconscious, or I wasn't conscious of the thought at the time, but. And I feel like it hit me now, but it's questioning what is real. What I mean by that is I've always known that what I was looking at wasn't real. But the thing is, that thought or that idea, that notion was in conflict with the part of me that wished it was real. So it was like a tug of war. You got the one who's accepting reality and the one who's like, eh, fuck reality. Now I'm sharing this. I don't believe it's that experience is unique to me. Like I think about credit cards, how they get you. Previous episode, I mentioned how I finally got into the habit of spending within my means, and I'm still like mastering in it, but I'm getting better at it. But credit cards are the ultimate. Illusion? Now, I'm not talking about those of you who use credit card responsibly. I'm talking about those of us who are like, I don't like the idea that I can't have this. I'm getting Consumer Magazine. I'm being broadcasted by television. My favorite rapper is showing me all kinds of shit that I need to look like, dress like, in order to get the same ladies he has beside him. And then here comes credit cards. And essentially, I used to use my credit card as a way to, like, forget that I'm not like them. Yeah, I'm paying for it now. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it's regret. It's one of those lessons learned. But it's a lesson learned. But yeah, it created an illusion. Again, knowing it's not real versus wanting it to be real. And that same notion is why I've talked about this before, how I had difficulty accepting or understanding or treating women like human beings. Because, you know, you're exposed to porn at such a short, young age. And you're at a young age and you find yourself watching videos, and to you it's like, yes, that's the ideal, that's the purpose of a woman. Look, all I'm saying is porn did not help. If I was sexist, if I had any misogynist thought, that was porn fueled a lot of that. Porn combined with this inner conflict of what's real versus what I want to be real didn't help. Wow, that was long. That was saying. But yeah, so all this to say, watch porn, kids. Who knows? You might develop some enlightening thoughts like I just did.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yesterday I watched the Haiti play Scotland. Rouge et bleu. Yeah, all right. So granted, it was 1-0 for Scotland. They didn't win, but still. Still representing Le Grenadier. And the only reason I'm only bringing it up is because I enjoyed watching the match. Also high, by the way. And what's funny is I just felt like watching it in French. I watched it in French. Usually I watch it in English, just whatever, better. But for some reason, I chose to watch it in French. And I got curious. And the French folks, they focused on the game. I don't know what happened. Whatever, they just focused on the game. Then I switched into the English version just for the fuck of it. And these niggas, all I hear is, yeah, poor Haiti, man. Oh, poor Haiti. First they had this going, first they had that. Like, holy shit. I know I'm going to sound like those keep politics out of, no, that's not my intention. Not to say keep politics out of it, but it's like... But I am going to say, I came to watch a game. And the fucking English folks were all into, like, it's as if they weren't familiar with Haiti. So they got to, like, oh my God, it's a shithole country. And talking about this and that. Trust me, man, as a Haitian, you've heard it all before. You've gotten all the pity. You've gotten all the you guys ain't going to make it. We've gotten, like. Anyway, so I switched back to the French version. Not to say that French people are better, but it's as if they got the memo. Or it's as if, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised because usually the French folks are usually like, when it comes to racial shit, piss me off more usually than the English folks. But whatever, man. Sometimes flip. They were just talking about the game, talking about Okay, he hit a game. They'll go into the player's background. Oh, he's from Montreal and blah, 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 blah. He's in Montreal. And one dude, whatever. You know what's killing me? I was trying to identify who are the people speaking. And Google and AI was not allowing me to determine that. Imagine that. Age of information. I can't get the names of the people of the commentators. But that's a different story. Anyways, all this to say that damn, there was a lot of people in that stadium. I'm from Ottawa. I'm not used to seeing a lot of people in an area. You know, I can't blame from Ottawa. I don't go out. So that doesn't help. But yeah, anyway. So go Haiti. And I mean, still fuck FIFA. I'm still on that fuck FIFA. But whatever brings the people together.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Yeah, we have a family that's grieving. We have a community that's grieving over a 14-year-old who was shot. His name is Cyrus Cermak Belton. This happened about 8 o'clock last night at a convenience store on Park Lane where the victim went in. The owners of the convenience store suspected him of shoplifting. He did not shoplift anything. We have no evidence that he stole anything whatsoever. There was a verbal confrontation inside the convenience store. The victim went outside. He took off running. The son of the owner of the convenience store gave chase. The father, who owns the convenience store, joined in the chase. He was armed with a pistol. They chased the young man towards Spring Tree Apartments. Young man fell down. He got back up. At some point, the son said that he had a gun, that the victim had a gun, and we did recover a gun that was close to his body. At that point, the father shot the young man in the back. Regardless, even if he had shoplifted 4 bottles of water, which is what he initially took out of the cooler, and then he put them back. Even if he'd done that, that's not something you shoot anybody over, much less a 14-year-old, but you just don't do that. We're charging the owner of the store, Rick Chow, with murder. What clouded the issue is that the victim did have a gun. There was a confrontation. We had to make sure that those who fired the shots did not have that gun pointed at them, and they did not, you know, in legal terms, be in fear of their life. And Rick Chow shot this young man in the back and he killed him. And he is going to be appropriately charged with murder, which is what he should be charged with.
Right. And then this was posted June 2nd, 2026. What? That soon. And yeah, the man who shot him was acquitted. Now, when this story first came out, I remember telling myself how I had just posted that that recent episode I did about Kevin Hart. Is that the one where I said don't love these hoes? Well, whatever. But I remember that story just came out, and I was still like feeling rage about, anger about the roast. Not the jokes, but more the image of the roast. More having, now we're having debates about what's funny and what's not funny. I didn't ask to have that. I didn't ask to see the fucking roast. I didn't ask to be tied in. The roast was supposed to be something they do, but it ended up, because of the bullshit they did, everyone got dragged into it, and whatever, man. So I remember, you know what? On the Black Guy Who Tips, they call it fucking with black people. It's like a pastime in this country. So I was just getting over, getting fucked with the roast, having all these white people tell me that, blah, 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 what's a roast? Or trying to explain to me what comedy is, like I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, like I don't understand, but anyway, I had just gotten off from that, and then I remember this came out, that story came out, and I, like, blocked it. I knew the name. I still remember the name, but I blocked it because I gotta budget my anger. Now, I bring it up now because this is feeling personal to me. It's reminding me, I'm feeling like George Zimmerman all over again. And I think my biggest thing is a reminder of how easy it is to justify killing a young black man. Two things motivated, inspired what I'm about to talk about. The first one is I remember watching a video of a black woman, and she recorded her son in front of her, the door of her house, her son going into kindergarten, first grade, graduating from grade six. I'm not sure how it is in the States, but I think it's called grade school. Then it's the same picture in front of the door and in front of the door of their house, and it's meant to be like progression. He's graduate student, first grade. So he's a little boy, right? First grade, grade six, junior high school. I'm not sure. I think he said college, and then the army, then military, but it's the whole time I'm looking at this young black male, and I'm telling myself, you fit a description. It's the mom is proud of this boy. To her, that's her boy. That's a human being, but to the rest of the world, God forbid he buys something, puts it back. But God forbid he's in the wrong place at the wrong time. He could get murdered. And when they put his picture out, everyone, society's looking at him like, I bet he did that shit. I used to have a joke about, I used to make a joke because it was like getting to me about the joke was how my final last words or my final ass actions is put your hands up in the air. The last thing I might hear in my life is put your hands up. Or and the joke is about how I need to work on my pictures because so when they go to, like when I get killed by some crooked cop, they'll have some friendly picture of some, like I need pictures where I'm surrounded by white people. And essentially I want people to see these pictures and they said, oh shit, you shot one of the good ones. That's the idea. So smile, no fucking gang pose, no sitting in the car, no doing anything a teenager would do. I mean, I guess I couldn't do it, but you know, a young adult would do. So yeah, so that's one of the things that inspired. The second thing that inspired it is I hadn't looked for any details about Cyrus. Did I mention his name? Holy shit. Cyrus Carmack Belton. But I remember coming across a Reddit post and the presenter, this was in No Stupid Question subreddit. And someone asked, said, hey, what's going on? What's the deal with this Cyrus Carmack Belton? And of course, true to Reddit fashion, if you want to know what white people think, go on Reddit. And then the first post was someone explaining the perspective of the defense, not the prosecutor, the defense lawyers. And essentially, it's interesting. The first paragraph is you see how the defense was able to convince the jury that black kid needed to die. Because you're getting him from this perspective. So he's explained how kid comes in the store. He was suspected of shoplifting. I didn't know that part. He was suspected of shoplifting. Argument. And then he puts it back, but apparently they didn't realize it. And this is what's fucked up, is they chase him. They chase him and yada yada. Here's where I'm going with this. The way homeboy explained the story, I nearly fell for it. I nearly left the article going, oh, I get it. But his story, the explanation is all based on the idea that black kid was a threat. That black kid was scary. You don't know about these black guys. Like I'm reading the explanation and it reminded me of how self-conscious I am when I walk into a store. Actually, I was thinking about Cyrus Carmack Belton when I was at self-checkout place, and the person who was looking was kind of close, and I felt like his eyes was on me. Now, I wasn't in the mood. I don't give a fuck, you know, because I'm paying, and I'm like, I'm not in the mood to, like, protest, but and fuck it. I'm just going to grab my shit. I check my stuff, and I always hold on to my receipt because I'm always planning for some bullshit. But I caught myself being really obvious. I'm like grabbing something from the bag. I wasn't yelling, but I was grabbing, for making it obvious that I'm scanning all my items that are in my cart. Now, it's possible this dude was just a rookie and he was just trying to be, in his mind, he was being helpful. But all I know is I felt his eyes was burning on me. But that moment just reminded me of how self-conscious I feel when I walk into a store. I remember I might have been 11, 12 years old. And I might have been even younger than that. But I remember, this sounds really silly. I remember, I forget what the deal is, but my brother said, hey, you can go in my bank account. I'm not sure if he owed me money or whatever, but essentially it ended with, hey, two dumb kids, we don't know shit. He goes, yeah, yes, that money I owe you or the money you want, you can get it from my bank. Just get it from my bank account. I'm naive, not paying attention to, like, I was just introduced to the concept of bank account. All I know is you go to the bank, show them your back in the day, your bank book. It was before bank cards, right? You go to the teller, show them the book. And say, oh yes, I have permission from the other person to do so. Like, I think my mom has let me done. Look, all I knew is I didn't know any better. I walked into the bank with my brother's account information, and I said, I like to withdraw money. I'm not sure if I said, hey, it belongs to my brother or whatever, but I think I might have presented like it was mine. But I didn't know any better. What I remember is the cashier. Naive. The teller's looking at my shit, and she's like, okay, you know what? Oh, it's going to take us a while. Can you sit over there while it happens? I'm like, okay, whatever. Figured it. Not suspecting anything. Next thing I know, a cop walks in. He didn't use the word fraud. He might have, but I didn't hear it. But all I know is I got spoken to by the cop, and the first thing he's doing, he's trying to figure out, is this a fraud situation? Luckily, he didn't take me in. He could have, but I remember he was talking to me like he wasn't, hey, what you're doing is not how you're not supposed to do that. I remember he was like really feeling me out, saying, oh, did you steal this from your brother? Did you threaten your brother? Did you like, I remember thinking all these shit going, why the fuck would I do that? He gave me permission. Again, I know it was wrong, but the fucking adult should have been like, hey, at the very least, hey, stupid, you're not supposed to do that. This bitch calls the cops. But I remember that moment being fucking self-conscious about, I'm walking into a bank. Anyways, getting back to Cyrus Carmack Belton, it's the idea that when I first heard the story is, I remember he took four bottles of water and he put them back. When I read the explanation, is they said, oh, they suspected him of stealing. They were suspecting him of stealing. And he believed he got caught, so he put it back. And then from there, I don't know why these motherfuckers just didn't say, hey, kid, you're banned from the store. Or you're banned from the store or call the cops. But the point is, he didn't steal shit. Like, I'm going to be self-conscious. Actually, I'm going to feel self-conscious about, oh, fuck, I don't really want to buy these extra large condoms. Okay, bad example. But I'm just saying, you know, when you're like, as you're allowed to go in the store, I'm picking some shit up and being like, fuck, forgot my wallet in the car. Or fuck. Or even, maybe he was thinking of stealing, and then something said, you know what? That's a bad thing to do. Jesus would be mad at me. Whatever. Whatever the fuck. And he puts him back. I don't know. It's their words against the word of a dead kid. But according to them, he was doing what black kids do and he was stealing shit. So, that's why he had to die. Like I said, this is like Zimmerman all over again, Trayvon Martin all over again. Cause they Three Guys On podcast, Randolph, one of the hosts, he was joking about how, cause he was looking at how, like, he chased them for 100 yards. I think in metric system, that's like 90 kilometers. Or something like that, but 100 kilometers. 100 kilometers, it's a distance. I'm running 100 kilometers. Fuck that. But they chased him. And then there's a part like the cop mentioned at the early, he says, yeah, he trips. And apparently the gun fell out. And he kid's claiming that he pointed the gun at him. And that's where his dad shot him. That's where the self-defense is. But I guess there's no evidence to say, or there's no way of knowing for sure that, hey, this kid pointed a gun at him. Look, here's the last point I'm going to make at this, right? Regardless how he felt, I'm thinking again of that explanation that I read about this white kid. I'm assuming he's a white kid explaining how he won't say it like that, but essentially justifying the death of this young black kid. 14-year-old, by the way, 14 years old. The kid who shot up, the white kid who shot up, Dylan Roof, who shot up a church, he's still alive. The kid who shot up a movie theater, one of those Batman movies, shot up a movie theater, then walked out, and the cops came in, put your guns down, he's still alive. I remember hearing about all these young kids. Okay, first of all, this is the United States, right? Possessing a gun is a hobby over there. It's kind of ignorant. Fuck it. I'm just saying, compared to Canada, yeah, a little loose about your... Fuck it. Why am I apologizing? My goddamn podcast. Anyways, yeah. So, my point is, it's a hobby. It's in possession of a gun. The way the kid was describing Sirius Carmack Belton is like, the fact he went in with a gun shows he was guilty. Look, it's the fucking United States. I'm not trying to justify. This is, again, getting fucked with. This the same way we went from white people explaining, oh, jokes about lynchings should be funny. Or it's the same way now we got to confront white people who are like, hey, that kid deserved to die. It's unfortunate, but he had to die. Real, whatever. That's the argument we're dealing with. And what I'm getting at is a lot of these school shooters, young white males, who've done worse. This kid didn't steal anything. You got kids who shot up their school. And the police were able to, like, apprehend them, put them in a cop car, so they could face justice. Sirius Carmack Belton didn't have that opportunity. And I think what the biggest thing is, it's less the fact that this store owner shot him. It's the fact that the jury said, oh, we get it. Oh, fuck. Oh, man. I'm not saying you should have killed him, but we understand how easy it is. As soon as you put a black face, you add a black kid to the mix. It's like, okay, what was he wearing? Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, I would have done the same. It's easy to convince a jury of white folks. Yeah, that kid needed to die. What? He was in possession of a gun? He was going to steal? It's just heartbreaking. The other reason why I kind of wanted to stay away from this story, but just focus on the name, Sirius Carmack Belton. I'm purposely saying his name so you'll remember it. Sirius Carmack Belton. The other reason why I was avoiding it is because I felt like my algorithm was pushing this one Asian guy who was like hey, black people, if you guys plan on boycotting Asian business, you're going to be fucked. It's essentially just some fucking insensitive bullshit. My algorithm was pushing that asshole. Apparently, he's no longer posting shit or his account's closed. Whatever, man. But they were pushing this asshole. My first thought when I saw him is like, I've seen way too many. Okay, let me be honest. Okay, my first thought, I won't lie. My first thought was Black Korea by Ice Cube, death certificate. Then my next thought that came right after was, I've heard from too many Asians who know what time it is, who made it what was that thing called? H-Mart incident? It's made it clear that, hey, Asians are not a monolith. Yes, there are Asians who fell for the disease of white supremacy, who've succumbed to the disease of white supremacy, and we'll be talking that racist shit. A lot of them are just old. Well, not just old, but yeah, there are just like black people who succumb to white supremacy, but there are Asians who know what time it is, who are like, yo, that's fucked up. They'll burn homeboy's store down before we do. So I know there's way too many to like take his voice seriously, to take the voice of that one asshole talking about burn down the store. I can't explain it, but maybe it's just, I can't explain it, but I just knew better that's just one voice, one Asian voice. You know what? It's one Asian voice, but one asshole being an opportunist. Like, I don't know if he really believed what he was saying, but if you want to go viral, just say some outlandish shit about, yeah, that kid deserved to die. Or anything, say anything insensitive about the death of a black person. You won't go broke. There's a market for that shit. So yeah. Anyways, that's all I gotta say, man. So RIP, Cyrus Carmack Belton to was it Rick Chow? Cheeky Rick Chow. What Ice Cube said, pay respect to the black fist, or we'll burn your store right down to a crisp. I don't live in the States, so it's not a threat. I guess, I don't know if this would come off as a threat, but yes. If his store were to burn down, I'd be like, oh shit, maybe Jesus is black. But yeah, man, that's fucked up. If we're going to boycott a business, boycott his business. You know, that's all I got to say. Y'all can continue on, but that's all I got to say. All right, okay. Yeah, that's it for randomness. Let's jump into final say. But before we do that, I'm going to take a quick break. All right, let's just go through it. Okay. So on the last episode of Shut Up Podcast, under final say, I talked about how I didn't realize what I was getting. I guess I was talking about how it's mainly my reasons for not looking for meaningful relationships, connections. I use the word connections. But I was also saying my reason for staying single. I use connections, whether it be friendship, romantic relationships, or whatever. But I've been like isolating myself. Solitude. I've been enjoying solitude. Excuse me, like that saying was, I've been enjoying my solitude. And then I came across this video by, I don't know who her name is actually. But essentially, her content is pretty much my list of reasons of why I'll be staying single. And it's a woman talking about how, basically showing shitty things men do. And in relationships and the women who like tolerate it. It's like, oh, it's kind of funny or whatever. But like to a captive audience, it's like, girl, run. So she creates a collection of clips of couples showing toxic couples. And usually it's the toxic couples being toxic. And it's usually the man who's like the toxic, and then the woman who's just like embracing it or not seeing like the red flag, ignoring the red flags. And she's like, yep, list of reason of why I'll stay single. And watching that video made me realize, connected with what I was saying, and yo, I was on to something. And it's how we've been all taught to treat being single or to look at being single in what in one way. And for in her case, to the average, to the people who don't connect with what she's saying, to what she's presenting, she's like the bitter woman. It's like, oh, come on, what do you mean you don't want to be get married? You want to be fulfilled without us? You won't have a great life. What do you mean? You don't want my seed inside your vagina? How are you going to make a baby? Like, I get it. I get it. It's the whole stay single mindset. The other thing, too, is when you tell people that you're single, people assume that, oh, something must be wrong with you. You must be done. You know what? I used to think that. I was part of the defective. I'm single because something went wrong. And the truth is, where I'm getting at is, we never have conversations about questioning, why am I single? And here's the thing. I'm doing something that I would have done, people who are in relationships should be doing. A lot of people just jump into relationships and don't even realize that, hey, I am not fit to be in a relationship. I can't be faithful for shit. Whether it's that or maybe your pride. You have way too much pride to be interdependent. Like, it's all about control. It's either that or you get in a relationship, but it's a dependent relationship. When I read that quote by Sarah Strong, how's it go again? It goes, to fall in love is easy. Even to remain in it is not difficult. Our human loneliness is cause enough. But it is a hard quest worth making to find a comrade through whose steady presence one becomes steadily the person one desires to be. I realized, well, first when I heard this quote, my first thought was, oh, I'm raising the standard of what I'm looking for in a companion. Before, you know, I was that. I think my only objective in a relationship was just so I don't feel lonely. Actually, my first girlfriend at the time made me realize that. My girlfriend at the time made me realize that, oh, no, there's a lot worse than loneliness. And it's being in a relationship where you wish you were lonely. I'm thinking about a lot of the people who kept trying to say, kept treating me being single as a bad thing. I noticed a pattern. Most of them, if not all, were people who were in shitty, uninspiring, mediocre relationships. And they were looking at me like I'm the one fucking, like, they're like, oh man, well, you can't get any bitches? Is that wrong? What are you, you know, what are you, gay? Because to them, being gay was bad. Something wrong with you? And they don't realize I'm looking at them going, dude, nothing about you, ma'am, or dude, nothing about your relationship inspires me to be in one. All the bad shit you're going through with your partner, I could do that by myself. Getting back to Anna Strong's quote about steady presence, one becomes steadily the person they desire to be. I've gone most of my life not knowing how to be my authentic, true self in the presence of someone else. Like, that's not the kind of mindset. If you can't be your real self around someone else, you should not be in a relationship. And if you're in a relationship and figuring that out now, oops. That's not my intentions. It's more, again, taking the time to reflect on, look, I think I got this from therapy. It's like, look, because at first I thought my therapist was like getting on this, oh, you need to be in a relationship tip. And I, Sorry, it used to piss me off. I'm like, yo, cut it out with that bullshit. But I realized that the idea is that, no, it's not. If you want to be single, be single. But don't do it for reasons that are inaccurate. Don't do it because you convince yourself that all bitches ain't shit, or I ain't shit, or I ain't got nothing to offer, or it's all going to work out wrong. No, no. If you want to be single, if you do genuinely love your solitude, then stick to it. I guess it's kind of fucked up if you're already in a relationship. It's kind of hard to get out of it. But I do realize that the kind of relationship I would want to get into is like a winning a lottery. It's the kind of shit you wouldn't want to take for granted. It's the kind of shit you wouldn't want to fuck up. It's the kind of shit that you would, I'm going to use the word put in the work, put in the effort, make it happen. It won't be perfect, but it will be worth it, type of thing like that. But that's what it is. But it's not something you just pick up just like that. Yeah, my last thought is there are plenty of folks in relationships that shouldn't be in relationships. Yeah, I have this motto of, I don't like when people who are like, oh, you're single? I got a friend to hook you up with. Wait, hold on. Take a time to understand why I'm single. Because there's a lot of Trump supporters who are currently single as they deserve. And because their politics was like so disgusting, their partner was like, I'm done with you. I'm not just trying to focus on just on Trump supporters, but I'm like, there are people who are like toxic human beings, and there's a reason why they are single. Like some people just, oh wow, because you're alone, then you shouldn't be alone, then you should be with someone. It's like the idea is because you're alone, you should be with someone else, as opposed to maybe romantic relationships aren't my thing, or maybe I'd rather figure that shit out for myself. But don't try to matchmake me with your friend I have nothing in common. I'm thinking about when I in school, I went to those school where I was the only black kid, and I remember this. This was in junior high, and this black girl joined our school. And she was a chill girl, whatever. Right? But she was a chill girl and everything like that. But nothing crossed my mind about, yeah, we should be together. But I had already put her in a category of, okay, that came out wrong. Nothing, I was not attracted to her, bottom line. And vice versa. I didn't, like, if we talked to each other, we talked like two people. But the white kids kept pushing us. It's like, oh, you guys would make a great couple and blah, blah. At the time, I didn't think about it. It's like, why? Why do you think we'd be a great couple? Well, you know, because, you know, you're tall. And you're tall. And because we were black. But I remember the first time they were like, they were like, oh, you guys would make such a great couple. I'm like, guys, that girl would not like my porn collection. I can see her now like, throwing holy water on me. Chill human being, but there was nothing about us that said we were compatible. Except the fact that we were both black. Oh, happened to be from Haiti as well. And prof probably celebrating les Grenadiers and whatever. Whatever, that's not the point. I guess that's what I'm getting at is people... There's a lot of people who don't understand how relationship works. And it's funny, the guy who's not in a relationship is talking about it. I'm saying I know enough about relationship to not take it lightly, to not just assume that, oh, she got a fat ass and she got a smile. We're compatible. I know that it takes more than just physical attraction to be in a relationship. That's what I'm getting at. It's funny, right? Me, the single guy, I'm convinced that I know a lot more about relationships than people who are in relationships and only look good for the gram. It's like, click, look at us all dressed up being a happy family. But once that camera's over, he's cheating on her. She's like cheating on him, or she settled. she's with him because society convinced women that, hey, you're not going to make it in this world without a man. I feel sorry for a lot of women who are in shitty relationships all because they grew up playing with dolls and society told them, like, hey, you're going to make a good housewife. Look, don't take my word for it. Talk to a divorce lawyer making a shitload of money because you because you two can't get along. Because you probably loved each other in high school, but not today. You ain't got to tell me about it. But anyway, I'm just saying, I guess it's. I think we should have a more mature way to talk about being single. Or not assume that being single means you're looking. You're probably being single because you're enjoying that journey. You know, I think the best, I didn't read the book, but I remember the movie, like, hit the point is, They're Not That Into You. Was it She's Not That Into You or They're Not That Into You? And I like how the movie ends. Spoiler alert. One person, the one woman who's like on a journey into discovering herself, and you got the other one who's like, she had a bad relationship, but she kept persistent and she got into relationships. I'm just, look, man, I think the bottom line is know thyself. Last point I'm going to make is, and I've likely shared this on previous episodes, and it's how the first time I discovered, I picked up the book, Relationships for Dummies. Now, at the time, again, I had a shallow understanding of relationships or what it, or even of women. But at the time, I didn't realize I was looking for a book on how to hack women so they'll behave like this porn performer, this porn actress, like who'll reenact the scene that I saw in this pornographic flick. I didn't realize at the time what I was looking for is a way to hack women. So I pick up this book, Relationship for Dummies, because I don't know shit about relationships. Again, I just thought that if you're a real man, she'll be attracted to your penis or your money or whatever, all the shallow shit. Like, I don't think you understood how much I did not understand the concept of relationships. You know, relationship was like, okay, I will be with you. You let me have sex with you, and I will be whatever you want me to be. I'll try. You want me to be a thug? I'll be a thug. Shit, I'll try. But I won't let myself get in the way. I forgot where I was going with this shit. It was, right. So I pick up this book, Relationship for Dummies, and I'm confused at why chapter one is all about you. So what the fuck do I have to do with this? Like, who you are as an individual? What do you like? What's your interest? What are you about? Like, I was confused. I'm like, where's the chapter about, okay, if a girl's leaning like this, she means she's trying to fuck. Like, where's, I'm going to learn, where are the signs? I want to learn the legend, the parameters on how do I know she's down to fuck? And how do I skip, how do I go from small talk to sex? But I remember being so confused on first chapter. Now I get it. 50 years old, 51 years old, now I get it. Know thyself. A lot of folks go into relationships. One last example. I remember being at a wedding. I took this girl to as my date to a wedding, a friend's wedding. And she was so focused on, she just kept talking about, oh man, on my wedding this, on my wedding that, oh my God, I'm going to have flowers this, I'm going to have the this color, this, I'm going to have a priest, so it's going to be more Christian in this fucking ceremony, fucking the bride's going to be there, and blah, 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 like, blah, blah, the whole time she's talking, and I'm like, I didn't bring it up, but I remember thinking, but what about the guy? Who is this? It's like she was more into the idea of marriage than she was about marriage. And I say that about myself. I was more into, if I wasn't trying to get in a relationship for sex, I was more trying to get in a relationship because of the idea of a relationship. Just to have some girl say, just so I can say the words, my girlfriend. Oh, B, why haven't you gotten no sleep? Oh, my girlfriend. Oh, B, why you grow? You know, my girlfriend. Oh, B, why can't you hang out? My fucking bitch ass bitch girlfriend. I wasn't trying to get to know another human being. I wasn't trying to create a connection. I didn't know shit about that. Anyways, I think I've been enjoying this journey on being single because it allowed me to A, reflect on where I've gone wrong, and B, raise the standards of what I'm looking for. Well, see, B, be more knowledgeable of what I'm looking for, and then C, raise the standard of what I'm looking for. Like, it's okay to say that, hey, man, if I'm going to give up the single life, you need to be worth it. And it's not just because you got a fat ass, big tits, and all my homies want to fuck you. Meaning, like, you know, you're making me look good in front of my peers. There's more to that. It's funny because I remember being told shit like, just be yourself. I didn't get it back then. Just be yourself. Or there's more to a relationship than physical attraction. What do you know, bitch? I have a friend, she told me, okay, this is the last point. I have a friend, she told me that first thing she looks for, if she's decentered men. But she said it, if she were to get in a relationship, at the very list of requirements, this motherfucker needs to understand feminism. Better be a feminist. Not proclaim, but he needs to understand bell hooks. Feminism is for everybody. Level of feminism. Essentially saying you need to have deconstructed masculinity or everything you were taught about what it means to be a man and what it means to be in a relationship. You need to have reevaluated, deconstructed again. That's what she was really getting at. That's what she was saying. So yeah. Anyways, that's it. Yeah. That's it. I knew I didn't know where I was going to go with this except to say that I knew I was on to something with my last episode, which was titled, by the way, did I really forget? Oh, Jody Watley had a point. All right, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Holla if you hear me. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Who's that blue?
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who said yes when they hear Big Rube ask,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. Thank you for listening, and remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm black.